to Jeremiah. And no, he wasn't a bullfrog. Jeremiah chapter 9. Read a couple of verses towards the end of this chapter. Our study tonight is called Pursuing God. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Father, I ask that you will help this word, Father, to sink into our whole soul and spirit, and help us, Lord, to not only hear the words, but allow them to come to life in us, because your word is alive. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will speak to us tonight. I pray that you'll bring it, Father, to such a point in our lives that we will understand something that we need to understand. Father, speak to me. I ask that you'll do that in Jesus' name. Amen. This is what the Lord says. And so Jeremiah is getting a picture of the Lord speaking to him. And it's interesting. I don't really know that if God ever spoke verbally to Jeremiah where he could hear him out loud. But I know God has spoken to me multiple times, and it's not necessarily been in an audible voice. But I know that he was speaking to Jeremiah, and there's no doubt in my mind that Jeremiah was walking in the path of the Lord, because our paths have to be clear. Our spirits have to be open to hear what God says to us. So tonight I want us to see how Jeremiah saw God. We know how Isaiah saw God, and we'll look at that in just a little bit. But let's look at how Jeremiah sees him. He says, I was in his presence. Being around others, we take on their traits. Have you ever noticed that? You know, couples that have been married for 40 and 50 years, it's almost like they're the exact same person, you know. They say the same things. They do the same things. They go to bed at the same time. They get more and more like each other. That's what happens when we're around the presence of God all the time. We become more like Him. And I fear that there are many people who aren't living around God very often. And we can all be in that state sometimes. Sometimes we can say that we're doing what God wants us to do, but like the scripture says, you know, I hear you with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. We need to be in His presence. Continuously being in His presence. Being around others, we take on their traits. We all have those we'd like to model our lives after. There have probably been people in your life. There have certainly been people in my life that I look and I see, and it's not necessarily accomplishments that they've, you know, done, but I see the spirit within them. And that's what I'm drawn to, is a spirit of love, a spirit of giving, a spirit of serving, you know, all the things that are pictures of the spirit of God in them. And I want to be around those kind of people. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says this, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Right? So, I mean, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? I want to be in agreement with God's Spirit. I want to be walking with Him. I don't want to be one of these people who say, oh, God, I want to follow you, but I'm following you when I go my own way. And He says, no, that's not following me. It's your way. I want it to be His way. I pray in my life that I will be pursuing His direction, pursuing who He is, pursuing His desires, His will for my life. One of the ways that we can do that is seeing what he's really like. And we went through this passage in Sunday school this week out of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and his train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." You see, when we see God like he really is, it changes everything in us. Everything. I mean, how can it not? And unfortunately, most of the people in this world, they have a clouded understanding of who God is. They picture him as some celestial being way off somewhere else in a place called heaven, looking down on this earth going like, "Oh man, y'all are in trouble. Hope everything works out okay. I'll be up here. Hopefully you'll trust me," or something. But, you know, and they have no understanding, spiritual understanding at all, that he desires to be with us, Emmanuel. So he sent his son, Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, Jesus said, "Now I'll send my spirit, and I will be with all of you." And we don't have to walk this life not knowing who God is personally. We can have a real relationship with him. And Isaiah was in the presence of God, and he saw these amazing things as he wrote it down. And the thing that stands out most is that even the angels, all they could really say is, "Holy, holy, holy." Just continuously saying, "Holy. He's so holy. He's so set apart. No one is like our God." Seeing ourselves like we are. See, we can see him like he is, but we also need to see ourselves like we are. If we truly want to pursue God, we've got to take an inward look. An upward look is seeing him. An inward look is seeing ourselves. So in his presence, that's what happened to Isaiah. He said, "Woe is me. Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord." Listen, folks, we need to see ourselves like God sees us. And that happens when we come into his presence. He reveals to us things that we wouldn't even see in ourselves. Many years ago, I heard a man talking about one of the hardest things for Christians is realizing that we all have a blind spot. And you know what a blind spot is, right? Blind spot is like when you're changing lanes and you look and you don't see anybody, but there really is a car there. Because you have a blind spot, that panel that blocks out that area. And even in our lives, we have blind spots. But we need to be able to see what God sees. And the only way we can do that is pursue him, pursue his righteousness, go after what he wants for us. You see, he's perfect and we are not. He's perfect in every way. Are we? Are we perfect in any way? That's a good question. Well, in one way we are perfected already. But yes, he is strong. We are weak. You see, when we're in his presence, we realize things about ourselves that we need to realize. We have faults. We have blind spots. We have downfalls. We have areas in our life that we need to work on. And that's a good thing because God allows us to see those things. But we're so weak. And that's why he asks us to call on him. "Call on me and I will show you great and mighty things which you can't even comprehend." He is strong, we are weak. He is in control, we're usually out of control. Right? If we want to truly pursue God, then we have to see ourselves like we really are. We have to come to grips with that. We all aren't perfect. We're not. We all have faults. And the way we do that is we change our perspective. We see what real things are in our life. In other words, the things that really matter. See, because it doesn't really matter what you do for a living. It doesn't really matter where you live or what you drive. It doesn't really matter how you dress. It doesn't really matter who you hang out with. What really matters is who you are. Man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart. Samuel messed up. He goes, "Man, Jesse, you got to have a better, you know, you got to have another, you, don't you have somebody else?" God keeps saying that this isn't the right one, this isn't the right one. And God spoke to him and said, "Listen, you're messed up. You're looking at the outward appearance. God is looking at the heart." Every single one of those guys was tall and strong and able to do anything that any other soldier could have probably done. But there was only one son in that group, and he was outside taking care of the sheep, that had a heart after God. His name was David. We need to see real things in life, the things that really matter. The evil one's lie is that the temporal things are important and they deserve our time and our energy. Now, if you don't believe that, think about what you do all day long and why you do it. Seriously. What do we do all day long and why do we do it? To get our paycheck so we can pay our bills. Right? Isn't that the truth? We need to take a look at it from God's perspective. Wait a minute. Is that why you're where you are? I put you there for another reason. It is a field that's white unto harvest. And I have put you there for one purpose and one purpose alone, is so that you can be salt and light and that you can share the love of God with people all around you. See, we start seeing things from that perspective. We don't have to worry so much about the terrible things we have to go through every single day to do what we have to do. But we can start seeing it from a different perspective. We can start seeing it from God's eyes. God doesn't look at what you do and say, "Man, you're doing a good job at cutting meat," or "You're doing a good job at working on a coal mine," or "You're doing a good job doing this or that." He's looking at you saying, "Now, what are you doing as you are doing those things? What are you doing? Are you shining the light of Christ through your life to people around you so they can realize and understand that I am real?" Third thing, not only do we need to see God and see where we are, we need to see what we can become. If we want to pursue God, we need to realize that He has a purpose and a plan for us. First, we have to understand Him. It means to see things from His eyes. It's called wisdom. And it's asking God, "God, what is it that You have for me today? What is it that You want me to do today? What is it that You want me to work on in my own life? What is it, God, that You see in me that I need to change? What is it, God, that I need to surrender to You that I've been holding on to? What is it, God?" Do we truly want that? You see, we've got to, if we truly want that, then we're going to have to do something about that. Amen? When we start seeing ourselves like God sees us, we'll know exactly what we're supposed to do. And we start seeking His purpose for our life. It won't necessarily have anything to do about our vocation, our location, or a vacation. It have everything to do with what He wants in us. Everything about that. We need to understand Him and we need to know Him. The word know in both the Hebrew and in the Greek means we become so familiar with Him and who He is that we'll know what He wants. So familiar with Him and who He is that we'll know what He wants in our lives. We'll also become familiar with what He desires for us. In other words, it won't be like pulling teeth when God asks us to do something. It will, in fact, be an opportunity for us that we go, hey, that's awesome. I never thought about that. That's great. I'll do that. But God is looking for people. He's looking all over this earth to and fro, seeking those whose hearts are His. He's looking for people who are willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. And that's exactly what happened at the end of what Isaiah said when he saw God like He really was. And he confessed who He really was. And then he says, here I am, Lord. Send me. God says, who's going to go for us? And who's going to tell these people? Isaiah said, I'm right here, Lord. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. But Lord, I've seen who You are. And I've seen You in Your holiness. And I desire that. So, Lord, here I am. And then we need to focus, I believe, on three attributes of God that will keep us centered in His will for us. The greatest one is His love, His loving kindness. God loves you, and God loves me, and God loves the people around us. In fact, He loves every single person in this whole world, including those who aren't born yet. He loves every single one of them unconditionally. He never, ever says, I'll love you if. He just says, I love you. God so loved us. His loving kindness means also being gentle towards us. And us being gentle towards one another. You know, I really can't comprehend, and I've seen it in action multiple times in my 44 years in the ministry. Christian people in Christian churches who become so angry at one another they never speak to each other again. Or they leave the church. Or they, you know, they get so angry they start all kinds of stuff towards the other person. It just, I don't comprehend that because that's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. Loving kindness. His judgment. His justice. Being a just God, He has to judge. It means seeing things as either for Him or against Him. And that means we've got to be able to say yes when it's supposed to be yes and no when it's supposed to be no. We've got to be able to discern the difference between God's will and our will. We've got to be able to discern between His will and the will of a body of believers. And that's not always easy because you'll have some charismatic person just saying, well, this is what I believe, this is what God wants us to do, we got to do this, and if we don't do this, we'll be out of God's will. Wait a minute. Are you God's will police officer? How about if we pray about it? And how about if we talk about it? And how about if we seek God's face and get in His presence? Because when we get in His presence, all this other stuff is going to fade away. It's either going to be for Him or it's going to be against Him. There's no neutral ground. And as Peter says, we ought to be sober-minded. In other words, we need to look at things very seriously. Now, that doesn't mean we need to walk around with a frown on our face and be. But what it means is take this seriously. I mean, God's Word is serious. He is serious. Do I believe that Jesus walked around with a serious countenance on His face all the time? No. But I believe he was always doing his Father's will. And there is a time. As Solomon says, there's a time for laughing, time for crying. We need to be able to discern those things. We need to be sober-minded. And then the other attribute of God that just totally stands out here is that He is a righteous God. He is a righteous God, and He calls for us to be in a right relationship with Him. You see, righteousness, and in fact, 1 Corinthians tells us that Jesus, who knew no sin, became all sin for us so that we might be made the what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So by believing in Him and trusting Him and then begin to pursue Him, God pulls us into an area called righteousness. Doesn't mean we always do the right thing, but it means when we do not do the right thing, we confess it and get right with Him in a right relationship. God wants us in a right relationship with Him. It really means consistent to stay clean. Now, I don't know about you, there's every once in a while that I'll go through a day and I just don't, you know, I don't even want to go change my clothes. I just want to go to bed. You know, I'm just so tired. The day's been so long. But you know what? I really need to go get clean. And I may start a day and realize, you know, I just got to get clean. I got to get clean. I got to get before God and make sure my heart is right. You see, if we don't start the day that way, what makes us think we're going to live the day that way? We need to get right with God. And there may not be anything major wrong, nothing major we need to confess before Him, but I just want to be right with Him in every way. I want to be used by Him. I want to walk in Him. I want to be in His presence. I don't want to leave. I want to experience His absolute joy and fellowship in my life. That's what pursuing God is. It's seeing Him like He is and wanting to stay there no matter what. That's what God's calling us to do. That's what Jeremiah is saying for us to do. And it's what God told him we ought to be doing. Let's pray.